Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And I'm sitting here on my bright red desk on a beautiful evening on October 9th. Absolutely gorgeous. It is 76 degrees outside of my window here in New York. And it was a stunning day. I spent it roaming around Connecticut, which is why we delay broadcasted the show till now, doing farmer's market activity, apple picking, things like that. It was great fun and a stunning, stunning day and a stunning, it's actually a holiday tomorrow for many people, not me, I'm working, but everybody else in the world can have the day off. And it's very much about creation that we're heading into. Venus went into Scorpio today, making everybody a little more passionate, a little more excited about things, a little more desirous of stuff. And we have a full moon. If you've looked at the moon, I watched the moon rise over Long Island Sound earlier today. It was really gorgeous. And as the sun got lower and lower, the moon got brighter and brighter. So we have a full moon on Tuesday that is going to invite us to really see things. Now, this full moon is kind of a rocker, okay? It's at 18 degrees of Libra, which means the sun and Saturn are hanging out together on the full moon, and they are opposing the moon in Aries, full moon in Aries, which, of course, is always a kind of charger kind of moon. I mean, when we have the moon in Aries, full moon in Aries, we often find that we are really driven to take action. And right now, the week, Mars, the ruler of the moon, is in Leo. So he's very much about what you want, what is important for you, what are your desires, what's your vision for your life. And Mars in Leo always speaks for the sun. So, you know, you're here to do your sun's path. You know, if you're here, you're a Cancer, you're here to nurture. If you're here as, a Scorpio, you're here to transform. If you're here as a Sagittarius, you're here to be a philosopher and a teacher. We all have our paths. And the premise of astrology is to say this is your path. And the Mars, when he's in the sign of Leo, is talking for the sun. He's saying that the sun wants this to happen, and he wants it to happen now. And so each of us are all kind of in a position where we're going to be finding that the sun is going to be really pushing, but he's also joined with Saturn. So as he joins with Saturn on the, as he's approaching his union with Saturn, you know, because he actually joins with him when the sun is at 20, because Saturn's at like 19. But the sun and the full moon opposite next sun Saturn is very serious. We're all going to be taking ourselves, our lives, our purpose, our path, very serious this week. We had Venus go into Scorpio today, and she's all about passion and excitement and over-the-top kind of energies, which is always fun. But once so now all the planets in the heavens are all also answering to Venus in a very, very passionate sign. Now, last year, we had 100 days of over-the-top Venus and Scorpio passion. This year we only have 23 days. So it's much nicer, not nearly as much drama and excitement, but definitely still a lot. And this week, as Venus moves into Scorpio, you're now going to find all the planets in the heavens are now feeling like Scorpio planets. They're going to be a little more dynamic, a little more dramatic, a little more passionate, a little more they want what they want when they want it. Right, because the Sun and Saturn and Mercury and Juno all answering to Venus and Scorpio. Pluto's in Capricorn answers to Saturn, who answers to Venus and Scorpio. Neptune in Aquarius answers to Saturn, answers to Venus and Scorpio. The Pisces planets answer to Jupiter, who's in Taurus, answers to Venus and Scorpio. And, of course, Mars and Leo answers to the Sun, answers to Venus and Scorpio. So while Venus is not necessarily the final dispositor of all these planets, every single one of them is checking in with her for advice. And Venus in Scorpio is technically in her fall because the principle of love is not supposed to be to kill you. And Scorpio, of course, is, you know, the killing season in this growth cycle. It's when there's the first frost, although you wouldn't know it today because it's 76 degrees right now at 11 o'clock at night. But it is a killing cycle. It's when everything ends. So Venus in the sign of endings, you know, not so good. You're supposed to be about love and gorgeous and happy and, you know, have a good time. But, you know, she is, you know, she's passionate. She's, you know, I always liken her to Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. You know, really passionate in the elevator scheme, but then she can cook the bunny And I actually had a student, Grace, who for many years said she thought she should reposition Venus in Scorpio, that she thought it was not, that Venus in Scorpio got a bad rap, that it wasn't actually as bad as all that, and that she was going to one day write a book on it. So hopefully Grace will do that and give us a new definition of Venus in Scorpio. But let me tell you, you're going to feel this shift this week, because the last couple of weeks, Venus has been in Libra, where she's been nice, you know, we're negotiating, talking, communicating. Once she goes into Scorpio, she takes off the gloves. She gets a little mean. You see she has blood red nails, and you see that there's flesh underneath those nails. She is not always pleasant when she's in Scorpio. She wants what she wants when she wants it. And if she doesn't get it, she can be a little mean. And seeing that every single planet in the sky is talking to her on some level, you know, at least running stuff by her, if not having her be in charge of them. And then the other planet that is the guy in charge is Mars and Leo, right? And if we go Venus and Scorpio goes back to Mars and Leo, goes to the Sun, goes to Venus. Mars and Leo is acting for your own self-interest, acting for what your Sun wants. So we're going to find everybody's going to be acting for themselves this week, which is actually okay. You know, that's the premise. We're here to actually figure out what we want and to do our path. And sometimes, because of, you know, we get caught in life or we run into situations, we don't always do what we're supposed to do. But that's not going to happen this week, because you're going to be asked to do your path. And if you aren't doing it, the universe is going to come and sit on your head. And that's good. That's actually a good thing, because it allows us to be clarifying. You know, one of the things, last week Steve Jobs died, Mercury Saturn, he's a Gemini guy, Mercury rising, Gemini rising. And actually, he should have died a few years back, but he, you know, got an extension due to the treatments he undertook. So when you look at his chart, you don't necessarily see a death chart. Go back and look when he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. That's technically when he should have gone. And when I studied medieval astrology way back when, first pass, I'm doing my second pass now, you know, Bernadette Brady said, you may find you've already died, which means you're on borrowed time. So Steve should have gone back when he had the pancreatic cancer. He got 6 more years, and we got a bunch more of inventions from him. And I would like to point out, he is the man who popularized computers. They keep saying the iPad and the iPhone and all this iTunes and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, go back further, people. Because IBM got into the PC business because he was marketing and selling those computers to schools. And the executives came in and said, we want one of those on our desk. So IBM thought this was like a passing fad and a toy. I was in computers back then. And they were like, okay, well, we'll give you a PC. Because, you know, the business was mainframes. You started somebody, you grew them. They eventually had a couple hundred people working under them servicing these computers. It was like, you know, they were a very paramilitary organization. So they're like, all right, we'll give you your play toy, which is what they thought of them as being. And lo and behold, the PC industry took off. And, you know, now we're our mainframes relative to PCs. And look at how, I mean, the stuff on a PC now is what used to take up rooms and rooms when I was in IT back in the 70s. But he invented the PC, people, too, in his garage with Steve Wozniak. And, you know, Bill came along, and Bill Gates comes along, and he always sees how to market it better because he's got all that Aries in his chart. But Steve's the guy that came up with it first, and he's the one that came up with the type. He's the one that came up with the mouse. I mean, he saw the mouse being used. Hewlett-Packard or whoever didn't really know what they were doing, and he said, oh, that could be really good with our graphical user interface, i.e. Windows, all those little windows that you click on and open things up. So the idea is the man just kind of always saw it ahead of everybody else. And PCs, IBM was, you know, well, we'll just give you this toy, which is why IBMs were set up as clones, you know, because they were off-the-shelf parts, just build the thing and give it to them, as opposed to owning it and being proprietary about it. And Bill Gates was like, they didn't even want to spend the, I mean, they had thousands and thousands of programmers. They did not even want to spend the money programming basic DOS on a little PC. They bought it from Bill Gates, right? Because, you know, they were kind of like, this is a fad. This isn't going to be anything big. It's just, you know, these kids are doing this, so we're going to make the executives happy because their kids have these things. It was very interesting because it was a miss on IBM's part. And then eventually they got it. But it did not necessarily, you know, I don't think they anticipated the level with which computers, laptops, personals. Now, what it did was destroyed the business I was in, because we were selling part of a computer to executives. You know, here, use a part of it, you know, so you can get your information processing done. But yeah, he invented the friggin' computer, the little guy, the one you could carry around, and you didn't have to have a room and air conditioners and 10 people tending it and submit JCL code and use program an assembler, and all that stuff went away. So anyway, Godspeed Steve. And with Mercury-Saturn union last week, that was him going, okay? Also marks an end. When Venus goes into Scorpio, one of the things that we do find, as she finished that, she trined Neptune, and she kind of said, you know, Godspeed, good closing aspects for him to take off on, because Venus trines Neptune. And very often we will see a big Jupiter aspect in a chart when someone leaves. But the Venus trine Neptune was very much about, okay, off you go, have a good trip, you know, we miss you, we love you. And then Venus went right into Scorpio. And now she's really going to be counting, right? She's going to be counting. And she first forms an inconjunct with Uranus this week. So there's going to be an adjustment between what you desire and freedom. And then she's running all those Libra planets and most of the rest of the sky, or they're talking to her at least. And they're all going to be going, you know. And then we have the full moon, which helps you really see stuff. Now, the full moon is going to take you back to last April, when there was a new moon on April 11th at about 18 Aries, okay? And that new moon that you started in April of 2010, you're culminating that story now. So if you think back to what was going on then, that story is coming to fruition, and you're really seeing it. We're going to see a lot of relationships end, begin, change. Last week, Gene Simmons of Kiss got married after living with his wife, a woman of 28 years, and looked at the ring and said, gee, I don't know why I was so afraid of this. We're going to see the protests on Wall Street really get mean, okay? Because once Venus goes into Scorpio, we're not going to be nice anymore. We're going to start fooling around, not going to stop fooling around. The political debate's going to take a darker tone. We're also going to have financial problems, because when Venus goes into Scorpio, she takes the whole sky with her, and that is the place of her fall, and she's also in conjunct to Uranus, which is the sign of the crash. She is, however, sextile to Pluto, not unknown. So we can look for some interesting things coming out of Europe as they figure out what they're going to do to bail out Greece, and also as they work on what they're going to do with all those debts that they don't really have the money to cover. Time is fun. And most of the major stock market corrections have been in October. So here we are. Here we are in October. Venus goes into Scorpio and the universe goes, ha, ha, ha. Let's talk about how much money you actually have in your pocket. So we're going to have an interesting week vis-a-vis the money and the finances this week. We're also going to have an interesting week around what you want for love. You're going to find that those negotiations you've been undertaking kind of in a lighthearted, spirited way, thinking, gee, what do I really want? You know, Anne keeps saying, I'm making my decisions for the next 29 years. This is the week you're going to go, wow, 29 years is a really long time. Well, subsets of 7 years of, okay, that's still a really long time. And I often find when I'm counseling people, around their relationship issues, and, you know, and they're thinking about getting divorced or leaving partner, I'll go, well, you know, you got this little window here, and if you don't take it, it'll close, and 7 years from now, you'll do it. And I can always tell how ready they are by them going, 7 years? Oh, my, I can't do it for 7 more years. Or, oh, okay, 7 years? Okay, I can work with that. It's very interesting because there's a very definite different choice. They can stay, they can go. They're going to pick, they're going to leave. And part of the story is knowing that that window kind of is getting, now that Venus is in Scorpio and there's a full moon, and that is a big old moon, man, rising over over Long Island Sound tonight. It was just gorgeous, but it is big. And she's pretty close to Earth, too. She's not like, you know, she's not way out there. She's kind of near us. So watch your emotions kind of rise over the next couple days as that full moon comes. So the sun this week goes from 16 Libra to 23 Libra, and it joins with Saturn on the 13th. So that means that we are going to be very serious about the matters of what we believe to be important to us, and that's Thursday. She also has, the sun also has some, you know, nice aspects to Mercury, you know, kind of helps you get clear on the 11th with the full moon. And she also has an adjustment to the nurturing energy. So the people that say, well, you know, look at all I've done, how I've taken care of you, that's not going to work anymore. Where if that was that's been used to keep a relationship together, you're going to say, well, I know you've done that to take care of me, and I appreciate all that, but I didn't actually ask you for that. And one of the things that I run into a lot is the difference between need and want. And when we look at our lives and we look at the world around us, what do you actually need versus what you want? Need, food, shelter, you know, roof over your head. Want, that's the stuff that we often didn't get when we were little, but we need it, or we want it, so we do it, we feel like we need it, we feel it's a need, and actually it's a want, and often we end up doing it for the other guy, because we actually want it done for ourselves. So you're going to find a lot this week on the full moon of people saying, well, I did this for you, and the other people saying, well, I didn't really want it. You know, I didn't want that. And I can remember being, you know, I was oldest, so I had to argue to get stuff, like growing up things like pantyhose. My mother would not let me wear pantyhose. I really wanted to wear pantyhose. Actually, it wasn't even pantyhose. It was stockings because you had to have a garter. So it was before pantyhose. But I wanted to wear stockings. My friends were wearing stockings. My mother was like, you can't wear stockings. You're too young. And I think she wanted us not to grow up, too. But I was like, no, I really want to wear stockings. So I struggled. I fought. I argued. I finally got to wear stockings to church on Easter Sunday. Now, my sister hit fifth grade, and my mother was like, okay, you can have. Now, I was in eighth grade, ninth grade. I mean, I really pushed for this. And my sister gets to fifth grade, and she gets to wear them. And I'm like, well, you know, I struggled for this. I fought for this. And my sister goes, I don't want to wear stockings. Like, that's like, you know, she's a gym shoot, sneakers and sock, you know, tube socks kind of kid. She was a jock. I'm like, I fought for this. And she goes, well, I don't care. I didn't really want it. She got it as a benefit of my activity. But I wanted it. And I always remember that comment when we had that argument, she and I, because, like, what I thought was so important, she didn't really want. And I had it echoed at a later time when I was teaching, and I thought, okay, you know, for all the kids, because math is sometimes very traumatic for people. They've had bad experiences in math. So I decided I was going to teach a math class, and you could get an A if you wanted to. Everybody in the class could get an A. They could take the test. If they didn't do so good on the test, they could take extra credit and get an A. And I had some students that didn't want an A. And I was, like, kind of shocked. And a friend of mine was, like, who's a therapist, she goes, Ann, not everybody wants an A. And I'm like, well, you know, they can get an A if they want one. And she's like, I know, but not everybody wants an A. That's what you think they should want. They don't want it. They want what they want. They don't, you know, they might want a C. They might just want to pass. It might be A's are out of their concept, their self-concept of themselves, what's possible for themselves to attain. Now, I did have three kids who had never, ever done well in math. And they all three got A's, and one of them started to cry because it was the first A she'd ever gotten in math. She's like, Miss Ortley, I will always remember you. And I'm like, okay, so that's what the A program was for that kid, that she could keep doing stuff to get an A if she really wanted to. And she did. She got an A. And then there were the kids that just didn't really want the A. And while I thought this was a great idea, they were kind of like, eh, you know, who cares? So your job this week, wants and needs, the difference between same, very important. What you want and need is not necessarily what the other guy is going to want and need. And if you say, well, you know, and you kind of gave it to them because you thought they wanted it, when actually it was your want, they're going to say to you, well, I didn't want that. That's what you wanted. And you're going to kind of go, what? What do you mean that's what I, and really it is what you wanted. And if we understand that difference, it makes enormous sense. Because then we don't sit there thinking, well, I did all this for you, and you don't appreciate me. And it's like, no, it's not that I don't appreciate you, it's just I don't want that anymore. Or I don't need that anymore. Or, yeah, I might be a great person, but I'm not interested, you're not interested. You know, it's okay. You're not going to die. But it's understanding that clarity comes this week. Not always pleasant. Not always a pleasant experience when you realize your wants and needs are different than the people that you're in primary relationship with. So Mercury. Mercury partners at the beginning of the week. And then in the middle of the week, he goes into Scorpio. So he goes from 24 Scorpio to 5 Scorpio. He is really cooking this week, okay? He's whipping through basically 10 degrees, right? Yep, 10 degrees. And he goes into Scorpio. Now, when he goes into Scorpio, Libra, he's very communicative and kind of a chatty fellow. When he hits Scorpio, what happens is he gets silent. Now, Mercury is silent in the sense of he doesn't communicate well. He just listens. He always knows what's going on when he's in Scorpio, but he doesn't always talk. And he feels the energy, and he understands the underlying psychological issues. So when he goes into Scorpio, which is on Wednesday, we are going to feel a real shift in the energy, even more so, because that's also the day that the Sun meets Saturn. So that we can expect those conversations about wants and needs to happen Tuesday, Wednesday under the full moon before the conjunction. And then Mercury, of course, works as he hits Scorpio. He's starting a new sign. So he, like Venus, we haven't gotten to Venus yet, but he's going to go through that early degrees of that cardinal cross that's separating, forming an aspect with Chiron and an aspect with Pluto early on in the week and an aspect with Uranus. So he's going to have a lot of really interesting conversations when he gets into Scorpio. Not always easy ones. And remember, he's not in the mood to talk. So you may find that you're talking and he's just kind of looking at you and not saying anything, and that's totally okay. When he hits Scorpio, he's going to be in conjunct to the Uranus, which is kind of doesn't always give you what you want. You have a little shocking news. And then a sextile to Pluto, which is productive and helpful. And a trine to Chiron, which is not always pleasant because the words can wound. Venus goes from 1 degree Scorpio to 9 degrees Scorpio. So she is going to go whipping through the back end and going to be talking to Uranus and talking to Neptune and talking to Pluto the same way Mercury does. She's also going to oppose Jupiter because Jupiter's moving back. He's at 7 degrees, moving back into a tighter trine with Pluto. And so, you know, Venus in Scorpio is an intense energy, has difficult aspects with the nodes of fate at the beginning of the week on the 10th, suggesting a choice, suggesting a decision that needs to be made. And so your job with Venus is this week is to understand that she is the Lord of the heavens right now, because all those planets are talking to her or reporting to her. And she is really feeling deeply what she wants, passionately. She's really tuned into it. So you want to give her room to have her feelings. You want to be extra nice to her, which includes doing Venusian things for yourself, giving yourself time to say, Venus, I understand you're in a sensitive place. Let's work together. Because remember, the Sun and the Moon are opposite each other this week in Aries, Libra, and they're both answering to Venus in Scorpio. So it's a very passionate kind of, you know, passionate energy that doesn't always have a voice. Because remember, when things are in Scorpio, they don't always talk. Scorpio is like when you're having sex and you're making all those weird noises. You know, it's not a vocal sound. It's not a vocal sign. It pops up and it goes, good, you know. And that covers everything and nothing at the same time. And you're like, what was good, you know? Especially if you're a Virgo. What exactly was good? And they just go, good, you know. And it's kind of a... it's a quiet sign, Scorpio is. So because it doesn't talk, you know. And the truth is, if you ever want to get a Scorpio secret, call them on the Scorpio moon. They'll always fork over stuff. I used to call my friend Tom McNamara then because I'd always get the scoop. He would give me all sorts of information, but he never talked the rest of the time. Okay, Mars into Leo. And, of course, you know I can talk. Mars into Leo is in Leo, and he goes from 12 to 16, so he's a busy guy. And he doesn't have a whole lot of aspects, but he does have an aspect with the nodes of fate next Sunday, the 15th, suggesting that he's in a highly creative position and busy doing things. And then we have Jupiter's at 7 Taurus, and Saturn is at 19 Libra, you know, just kind of hanging out there. And we're kind of watching the rest of the guys. Nobody else is really stationing. You know, we have two planetary shifts. We get used to Venus in Scorpio because she moved. And we get used to Mercury in Scorpio. When we get to 13th is a really busy day because Venus aspects Pluto, Mercury goes into Scorpio, the Moon in Taurus aspects the pole sky, and the Sun joins to Saturn. So that's the hard week, the hard day this week. The full moon is in Aries on Monday and Tuesday, goes void at 8 o'clock on Wednesday, so it's in there almost all day Wednesday. It's a separating aspect to Mercury, so you need to leave things behind and separate from things Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, Friday, Taurus moon. We love Taurus moon, exaltation, but hard planetary aspects, suggesting you really want to work on how you want to create things. Then when we get to the 15th, the moon is in Gemini. And the 16th, it's in Gemini, which is good information, lots of information, with a void being a trine to Neptune. Everybody feeling very positive. And the aspects those days are pretty good. You know, it's a nice, the 15th and the 16th are nice. Kind of productive, everybody's content, lots of information given, lots of conversations, lots of ideas. So we're looking at a pretty nice week. I do want to caution you that full moon is very potent. It is at 10 o'clock at night, so it's going to be in the house of love, given and love received. We're going to really be clarifying those love issues. And, you know, when we're working with a full moon with a separating aspect, meaning the moon is opposite Mercury, I believe it is. Yeah, the moon is opposite Mercury in Aries. Mercury is in the late degrees of Libra. This is one of those moons where you can have fights with people that never pick up again, okay? So what you want to do is, if you have harsh words, this is one of those times, and we've had them, you've had them in your life, where, you know, you have a conversation with someone and they really piss you off and you kind of have words and you hang up and you go, you know what, I don't ever want to talk to them again. And then they had the same reaction on their side of the world. Right? And you kind of then, neither one of you pick up the phone. And then suddenly the relationship is over. And you didn't actually mean for the relationship to be over, but it somehow is. And then you're kind of like, wow, what happened? It just kind of ended. This is that kind of week, okay? So watch those conversations that can be a little bit towards the, the separative energy. And there is a separating energy. People are in the mood now because they're just kind of tired. They're a little exhausted. They're willing to check out. They just don't want to do it. They're tired. They don't want to. So the don't wanna's, you know, I just don't want to. And if you find people are being kind of, I don't know the right word for it. Difficult's not the right word, but they're getting into their, you know, they want this or they need this. You kind of have to go, okay, everybody's feeling it extra strong. Venus is in Scorpio. She's a little unhappy. You know, everybody's a little extra needy. But this is one of those weeks where you can have that conversation and have that relationship separate. So if it is a relationship that's important to you, even if you're not really in the mood to deal with it, this is probably a good week to avoid conversations about it, because this is the kind of week where you can just go, you know what, I've had it, you know. And I know in my case, it's very hard to get rid of me, you know. I'll take a break from you, but I don't generally end relationships. It's hard for me to end. I have Saturn the 8th. But I had one friend once, and we got into this big argument, and I, you know, she just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. And I, you know, she hung up crying hysterically, and I was like, geez, Louise. And she just was one of those people that was hard to be friends with. She's one of the high maintenance, hard kind of, you know, you really are always working, never knew what emotional mood she was going to be in. And, you know, we had a third friend who said to me, you know, she really misses you. And I said, I know, and I miss her on some level, but she's kind of hard to be friends with, you know, and I just don't want to go back. That's the kind of week we have. You may find you don't want to go back. You're just kind of done. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But do recognize that that person on the other phone may have that kind of feeling about you too, especially if you get into one of those, well, I want you to do this for me, and you're standing in a place that they don't want to do it for you anymore. They're done. So you want to kind of pay attention to this energy, because it's one to watch, because it can be the cause of breaks that go on for the rest of whatever, the next 29 years, next 7 years, next whatever. But it's knowing that those energetic points are right now, this week, and to own it and be kind in it. So it is the British lady speaking in my ear, saying the show is finished. It always goes so fast. I did intend to take callers because it wasn't a big week, but we didn't get there. So at any rate, have a great week. This is Ann Ortley, your astrologer here at the Bright Red Desk. It's 76 degrees. We lost 2 degrees temperature. I'm now going to go soak my feet. I wish you a lovely Columbus Day and a terrific week. Have a good one and a great full moon. Bye-bye.